It's Big News Wednesday. Okay, everybody. Sometimes keeping it real, Big News Wednesday, it's a fiction, it's a facade, but not today. We got some big videos, we got some big meatballs, we got a lot of big stuff for Big News Wednesday. So, Jared Jackson, host of the Watch List, thank you for being here.
What's up, you guys? Can I be honest with you, John?
No.
If you can't tell, this has been a rough week for me. It's just been a rough week. I was yelling my ass off yesterday on my show. I'm tired. I stayed up to like 1-2 o'clock in the morning the past 2 days reading about all this tragedy and murder and killing and the people that don't give a hot damn about it. I'm not in a good place lately. But we're here. We're gonna talk about all this stuff, bro. Yeah. We're gonna get better. And literally, man, it's one of those days, you know, I think I talked about last year. Sometimes you just, the weight of everything eventually is on you and you're like, I'm not really sure why we're doing this, but we're doing it and we're going to do it well. I mean,
yeah, like the thing about it is if we stop doing it, it still happens. Mm-hmm. We just will be allowing it to happen without, you know, making sure that we in the larger community are educated about it, know how to communicate about it, and hopefully not feel alone and adrift in the entire situation. Yeah. It can be easy to feel that way, especially when it's raining as crazily as it is in LA right now. But we're going to do our best.
And obviously this being in addition to normal, you know, parental and friendship and family type of stuff people have to go through. This is on top of all of that. It's there's a toll that's on so many folks in this country that think that their lives are normal and our lives are absolutely abnormal. It's abnormal the way we have to live.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I try to remember is the people in charge want us to check out. And my enemy, I don't like giving him what he wants.
I agree, brother.
So I'm not going to. As much as sometimes, you know, like a psychic pain will start to hit I'm hearing a commercial now.
Oh, really?
I don't know from what. Anyone else hearing that? Okay, I'm going to have to figure out where that is because that will drive me insane.
Look, John, the call is coming from inside the house.
Okay. No one else heard that? Ashley, you didn't hear that? Okay. I'm insane. Anyway, okay, I'll assume that nobody on the stream heard it or anything. I think I smell toast. What's going on?
No,
that was. There's no tab that I need to close. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm losing my mind. We're going to try to get it together as we work through the first few blocks of the story. So I will let you know that we do have a lot to talk about, as we've sort of been alluding to. Not only are we going to be giving you some updates on the absolutely horrendous ways that some on the right are trying to use this most recent shooting, but also the ways that the Republicans are revealing themselves in the aftermath of it. We're going to be doing a deep dive into some of the insane things happening legislatively at the state level in a number of different states across a number of different issue areas. Different people are going to be forced to testify across multiple different cases. Some fascinating developments there. And I do very much consider all of that to be good news. And then eventually we will be diving into, I think, what most people come for when they come to the damage report, which is international animal culinary news. So we have that coming up, and we will be talking about AI, which should be a lot of fun. So anyway, assuming that there's enough left of my brain to do so, we're gonna jump forward. Please send us any comments, tweets, super chats you have, and hit the like button if you haven't already so that people know that the stream is live. And with that, why don't we get ready to do this? In the wake of a mass shooting, generally the Republicans will do thoughts and prayers or whatever, which is worth absolutely nothing, doesn't stop the mass shootings from happening, or they'll just go quiet for a little bit. But I think that we are getting good evidence on a daily basis that they're comfortable enough to not even bother with that stuff. They're just coming out and saying they're not here to stop these shootings from happening, and they're perfectly happy to see them continue. Take a look at this video from Representative Tim Burchett.
It's a horrible, horrible situation, and we're not going to fix it. Criminals are going to be criminals, and my daddy fought in the Second World War, fought in the Pacific, fought the Japanese, and he told me, he said, buddy, he said, if somebody wants to take you out and doesn't mind losing their life, there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do about it.
We're not going to fix it. That is disheartening, depressing, but it's also insanely honest. Like, no, Tim Burchett, third term congressman. He's been reelected with with that sort of attitude to governance, doesn't believe that this is anything that needs to be fixed. And he'll throw some nonsense at you to try to distract you. The idea that we should normalize the idea that trying to walk from homeroom to algebra should be akin to having the Japanese charge your lines. The idea that you'd be comfortable making that comparison is insane. I would also ask him, so like, do you not care what weapon the Japanese soldier has? Because when it comes to schools, you think it's irrelevant. I mean, sure, if somebody wants to kill you, they can kill you. Let's do literally nothing to make it harder or more inconvenient to kill you. So I get his fatalism. I get his surrender. It's deeply pathetic. It's deeply weak. He should be embarrassed of himself for the rest of his life. But JR, I do want to thank him for being one of the most honest Republicans. He's not going to do anything. They're not there to do anything.
All I'm saying, John, is if someone wants to get drunk at a bar and take 15 shots, get behind the wheel of a car and drive home drunk and run over people on the way, they're going to do it. And honestly, there's nothing you can do about it. Absolutely nothing you can do about it. You know, if somebody wants to drive down the street without their seatbelt on, and then if they do get into an accident, fly out of the window and crush their entire body and destroy themselves, they're going to do it. There's nothing we can do about it. If someone has a brand new baby that they just bring it home from the hospital and they put it in the back seat and let it roll around as they drive home instead of putting it in a car seat that's standard and has specifications and specific detailed ways in which you're supposed to harness children in a seatbelt, they're going to do it. So there's nothing we can do about it. Also, by the way, in case someone's on their cell phone all the time, because everyone has one now and they're talking on it, looking at it while they're driving down the street and they run into someone else, or if the police happen to drive next to you and see you on your damn cell phone, there's nothing they can do about it, at least until those laws and those regulations and these stipulations are put in place to prevent those things. And by the way, since those stipulations have been put in place with seatbelts, with child restraint seats, with drunk driving and all these things, it's really weird how those incidents went down.
Yeah.
Weird how that works every time. But with this one thing, if someone wants to shoot you in America, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. You know, doesn't it feel better to just give up? You know, it's convenient. Look, if somebody wants to smoke weed, they're gonna smoke weed. So there's no point in outlawing it. If people wanna come across the border, clearly they're gonna come across the border. So why the hell are we gonna waste our time securing it or putting more money or more funding down there? I would love to counter every single position that he holds with, what are you gonna do? Since that's his approach to trying to stop third graders from having their heads blown off their bodies. And it's not just him. We're gonna get to a little bit more of him, but again, it's not just him. But here is him again, absolving himself and every elected official from having to do literally anything about anything.
I don't see any real role that we could do other than mess things up, honestly, because of the situation. It's like I said, I don't think a criminal's gonna stop from guns. You know, you can print them out on the computer now, 3D printing, and there's really, I don't think you're gonna stop the gun violence. I think you've gotta change people's hearts. You know, as a Christian, as we talk about in the church, and I've said this many times, I think we really need revival in this country.
Okay, it was a Christian school that was shot. There's plenty of Christians all over the place. And we've had thoughts and prayers many, many, many times, assuming that literally any of the Republican politicians that say thoughts and prayers actually waste the minute or two to give them. It's probably just a tweet. That clearly hasn't solved the problem. We need to change people's hearts. No, we need to change your heart, as in for you to have one. And when you say, you know, we'll just mess it up, I have no doubt that you would just mess it up. And again, you have no intention of stopping anything. But take a look at the fatalism there. There's guns out there. You could just print them out. You know, it's interesting. If you can just print them out, why are all these shooters going to the trouble of buying them? These quite expensive guns. Why go to all the trouble? I mean, it could be traced and all that. You might be stopped. I mean, you probably won't. We're an incredibly permissive country when it comes to assault weapons, but why not just do that? Here's my thought. Why don't we make it as difficult as we can to get one of these weapons? How about that? They've taken in the last few days, even some people who might be theoretically in favor of like an assault weapons ban, what they'll say is, there's already so many out there. What's the point? And look, I'm not gonna say that there being lots of assault weapons just sitting in people's closets and basements isn't dangerous. It clearly is. Sometimes people in those families will get those guns. But if you are just a random person, the fact that Jim Bob has an arsenal doesn't help you commit a mass shooting. You still need a new one. You need to get one, which means buying one. And there's a lot of weed out there. Doesn't stop them from trying to outlaw it. There's a lot of a medication abortion out there. Doesn't stop them from trying to ban it. When it's something they give a damn about, they'll try. They'll try.
It's also weird how you know, these types of situations didn't allow someone like Burchett to talk about how he needs to promote his religion and his religion only to people based off of this tragedy. So it's you know, I think Senator Thune also said this because it's a normal thing. Scalise said it. Thoughts and prayers. Let's wait. Wait for the facts. Wait, wait, wait. Facts, facts. Wait, wait, wait. And all this, we're talking about that. But in the meantime, it's really quick to insert your religion into it and tell everyone else to start living like you. Which, by the way, you don't live by your religion. You don't live by this protection of your, of your children only, but absolutely no one else's. And also ignoring the fact that you live in the United States of America, where we don't have this one established religion that's supposed to rule over everyone else. Yeah. So your Christian revival that you want to push to everyone in the country is not going to work. Hadn't worked yet. And again, as you pointed out, John, how about that Christian revival inside of this school full of Christians?
Yeah. The student went to a Christian school. Again, I see people talking about TikTok. If kids want to get on social media, they're going to get on social media. Why are you banning it? If kids want to see porn, they're going to see porn. Why are you banning it? Isn't it interesting that when they want to try to stop something, they'll put effort into making it more difficult? It's just that sometimes when it comes to things like guns, they literally don't care. And he can't be any clearer about it. Here's Kevin McCarthy, by the way, a guy with more powerful than Tim Burchett, making clear that he finds you even trying to get a statement out of him to be an inconvenience.
You can vote for HR1.
What happened in Nashville is obviously an incredibly serious situation. Not that you are responsible for Speaker of the House.
Do you think you'll speak about that this week?
Should there be any gun restrictions at all?
I guess I'm the idiot because I thought that, you know, following up a dozen kids being gunned down by giving thoughts and prayers, as they did so many times, was the most offensive way to respond to a tragedy that could have been stopped. But no, that was worse. That was worse. You're being asked about this and don't care. He's the leader of the Republicans in the House. He doesn't care. He doesn't need to pretend that he cares. And that he had previously been asked, and he said at one point, okay, let me just tell you, I'm not going to answer any questions. You can walk with me. We can talk about new movies. We can talk about your lives. We can talk about what you're doing for Easter. Anything else? Reporter asked, but why won't you answer questions about what happened? I have to go to work right now. Well, you're literally at work and you're being asked about the questions that are, I think, foundational to the work you're supposed to be doing. But no, he'll talk to you about John Wick, but he's not gonna talk to you about the guns in our actual schools. One of the reporters pressed, saying there's obviously a grieving community there. There's obviously a question. And McCarthy snaps at him saying, let me ask you guys a question. Do you believe what I tell you? What did I say on the way out? I don't give a damn. I don't care. That's what he said. That's what he said. And again, Tim Burchett, maybe even caring less when he's asked about his own kid. Take a look at the way that he deflects again from the government being responsible in any way.
What should be done to protect people like your little girl from being safe at school?
Well, we homeschool her, but you know, that's our decision. Some people don't have that option, and frankly, some people don't need to do it. I mean, they don't have to. It just suited our needs much better. You good?
You know, and I wanted to leave that last little bit because when he says, like, my kid's homeschooled, I don't care what happens. Oh, no. By the way, I'm even going to acknowledge that most people can't do that. It's just impossible. And so I don't care. I mean, I don't care what happens to your kids. I literally do not care. That it? I mean, he is just repeatedly spitting in the face of every one of his constituents who I have no doubt will reelect him for a fourth term.
And these things, of course, they probably will get turned into some kind of political ad. Also with the stuff they said about Roe v. Wade and how there's taking away women's rights. They figure these things will just eventually go away. And you know what? They believe that because many times they've been right. That's why they keep getting elected based off of how much they'll directly point their finger in their voters' faces. The ones who actually vote for them and give them a big middle finger and say, we do not care. By the way, Senator Mike Rounds also said something similar when they were first Burchett was talking about how that we won't fix this. He also said, we've gone as far as we're going to go on gun control. He's not going to do it. they're blatant. They've gotten past the thoughts and prayers. Still, some of them say it that haven't been able to come up with new material. But we're done with it. And by the way, Kevin McCarthy threw that. There was audio of the stuff that you then quoted. I heard it was very jokey and laughing about this entire thing as he's talking about, hey, tell me about movies. I'm trying to get into work. Do you guys really going to believe me? He had all these chuckles and laughs. So if he can look at what's been going on and laugh and chuckle about it, he doesn't give a damn. As a matter of fact, it amuses him. While parents are crying and while people have lost loved ones, he's laughing about it. He's happy about it. His life has been enhanced with the death of your children. Every time a child dies in this country, Kevin McCarthy laughs about it and doesn't want to talk about it. Kevin McCarthy wanted to be Speaker of the House, wanted to be a leader in the Republican Party. He got it after 18 votes or so, and he doesn't want to speak. He doesn't want to talk about tough issues in the country. What are you there for? Why did you want to be Speaker of the House? You don't want to speak, you don't want to lead, and you don't want to have any kind of solutions towards anything that doesn't fit your political career. Why is he the Speaker of the House then? Why do you support him if he's supporting only himself?
And it's like when Marjorie Greene was asked about kids dying from COVID and she literally burst out laughing. Think about all of the work that had to be done for years to get to a point where as a politician you could do that and know and be right in knowing that it will not hurt you at all. Think about how much millions of people need to be trained by right-wing media to make it that you can laugh about their kids being gunned down, their kids being killed by respiratory illnesses. It's not gonna hurt you literally at all. It's not gonna hurt you in a primary. It's not gonna hurt you in the general election. You'll be perfectly fine. In fact, you'll be a leader.
I want you guys to go back and listen to some of the responses when Steve Scalise was shot on that baseball field I think it was a Bernie Sanders supporter. When he was shot and he survived, and he was critically shot, it was pretty bad. And I'm sure there's people who are laughing and joking about it because they don't like the things that he's done to destroy their lives. And the response from conservatives and Republicans that surrounded Steve Scalise was disgust. How dare you make fun of this man and his life and what he's done and everything that he's going through. You know, he's been shot, he survived. So as they laugh at the children who didn't survive and then the children that'll die tomorrow that won't survive and the children that are gonna die the next day that don't survive, they're still laughing about it, but they are serious about when they're shot. I want you guys to keep that in your minds now.
Exactly. Well, he's important. See, he's a politician. He's a wealthy and influential person. He matters. The kids don't matter. The adults who died didn't matter. Producer Mike gave me this article. Catherine Kuntz is one of the adults who died in the shooting. Apparently, she was on a Zoom call when the shooting began. As soon as it began, she hung up the call and ran to confront the shooter and died. She was killed by the shooter. She has more bravery than every single one of these politicians has ever had in their entire life in being willing to do that. An actual hero. And we've got these people that, like, it sickens me that they get to walk around in a roughly human form. They shouldn't. They should be like swamp creatures. They should be troglodytes. How dare they look like actual humans when they're serving the interests of the most evil individuals and corporations in this country. Utter cowardice, cruelty, inhumanity. Let's talk about one more of them before we move on. Marjorie Greene found something about the shooting to be aggrieved about. Not the kids dying, she doesn't care about that. Not the adults dying, she doesn't care about that. The fact that this is the 130th mass shooting of the year, doesn't care. 13th school shooting, doesn't care. Doesn't care, doesn't care, doesn't care. She did care when one of her Twitter accounts was briefly suspended though for spreading transphobic lies. She tweeted about this saying, yesterday my official Twitter account was temporarily suspended for warning about Antifa's trans day of vengeance in front of the Supreme Court. Don't even try to follow whatever the not even train of thought of what she said. It makes no sense. It's conspiracy theories and disinformation and lies and hatred. This planned event is being whitewashed by global brands and the left. Meanwhile, there's still no acknowledgement of the innocent Christians that were slaughtered in Tennessee by a trans mass shooter. Suddenly, identity matters to her when it comes to the first, you know, the 129 mass shootings that preceded Nashville this year that were perpetrated by 129 cis individuals. It was never worth mentioning, oddly enough. No acknowledgement of the innocent Christians, which seems weird. kind of feel like we've talked about it a little bit, kind of feel like everyone in the media has been talking about it. The difference, I guess, is that our acknowledgement of the victims is coupled with an inconvenient, impolite call for changes to be made that make it less likely to happen in the future. Because while she is cosplaying caring about those kids, very briefly dying in a tweet, she does not want to do anything to stop it from happening again. So the next time a school is shot up and kids are cut down, whether it's a public school or a Christian school, she'll be there ready to make the most of it politically for herself, but only afterward. She's got nothing for the kids who will needlessly die. So sorry about temporarily one of your accounts being taken down. By the way, as last time, they left her regular account up. They're indistinguishable. There's no difference between the two. So I'm not even like, I almost wanted to give Twitter a little bit of credit for temporarily suspending her, but they reversed it and she was still spreading the same sort of transphobic hatred on her other account anyway.
She's upset about it because that's one of her vehicles to advance her political career and promote herself. Again, what they care about. If you got to pay attention to these politicians, man, we already know it. Pay attention to what they care about. And what they care about is always themselves. It goes right back to the promotion of their careers. And the promotion of their careers is more money, more influence, more power. And then as they do the bidding of this gun lobby, that's part of that money. That's part about that that reelection juice and the campaign money they can get from them. They'll do their bidding for their own political careers. And they will laugh in your faces. We're living in the moment when people always talk about, yo, these politicians, the government's coming for you. The government's coming for you. You know how the government comes for you without actually coming for you? Handing everybody in the country guns and letting them shoot each other while they sit up on their hills, in their castles, in their moats surrounded with alligators in the water, and they keep you out while you're murdering each other, complaining about how they're gonna come down and kill you. Hey, guess what? We're already killing each other at a high, high rate. And those folks that are watching it happen are laughing about it. As you say, wait, you guys, we gotta keep shooting each other before the government comes down to kill us. It's happening. In case you wanna be a conspiracy theorist, your conspiracy is living your life, is living right in front of you right now.
Yeah, there's no conspiracy to the idea that the Republicans believe that they're supposed to occupy positions of government like a boulder would, exactly the same. Get there, stay there, do nothing, stop anything from happening. And then all the while your supporters say, we've been forgotten. You have been forgotten by the people you love the most. The people you go to the rallies and you cheer for them, they don't give a damn about you. To JR's metaphor about the castles, the only thing you need to add to it is that occasionally they throw a can of spam over the moat in the form of a culture war topic, and that's it. And then the barbarians sweep through and kill the lot of you. They throw another can of spam or whatever, and you worship them for the spam. That's what you do. It's utterly pathetic. We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we're gonna take a look at what's happening in state legislatures around the country on a number of different topics. It's insane stuff, so don't go anywhere. Well, really fast. Agnostic Sister says, just once, I'd like one of these reporters to respond to members of Congress in these situations with, you really are a piece of S, you know? No, they'd lose their jobs. They'd lose their jobs. You remember when there was a reporter, I think at Axios, maybe, that got fired like a week or two ago for responding to a DeSantis press release that was just a political thing. And it was like, this is not a press release. This is nonsense. They spread that on right-wing media, and that reporter got fired because they were being uncivil. When you're asked about a mass shooting, you're just like, whatever, go away. Stop asking me questions about these kids being gunned down. That's not uncivil. You do not lose your jobs. You suffer no consequences. In fact, you become more popular. But as a reporter, if you push back even a little bit against the elites, you could lose your jobs. Okay, with that said, we got a lot of territory to cover. So let's jump into this. Republicans in Wyoming have hated Obamacare for so long that they actually kind of hurt themselves in their effort to fight back against it in one of the recent ways that they're trying to strip away people's rights. So they're looking to ban abortion, as Republicans are literally everywhere. They never stop on that. But their ban has actually been temporarily halted by a judge because of their prior legislation when it came to Obamacare. So earlier this month, they passed a ban on abortion, quote, at all stages of pregnancy, except in cases of rape or incest that's reported to police or to save a woman's life. Again, these are like exceptions that are not exceptions. They're absolutely horrendous that you would put people through this and you leave it all up to the discretion of Republican politicians. So that's fun. They also had to throw into that text though, that they don't believe that abortion is healthcare. And there's a reason they had to do that, because they hated Obamacare so much that they amended the state constitution to explicitly say that people's healthcare decisions are their own right and should not be messed with by the government. And so the Teton County District Judge, District Court Judge Melissa Owen sort of pointed out, kind of seems like because abortions can only be performed by a licensed medical professional, it kind of seems like it's healthcare at that point, which is, I think, a pretty good point, a pretty indisputable point. But then the response from one of those fighting back against this interpretation is amazing. Special Assistant Attorney General Jay Jurd says the legislature's premise was that, quote, intentional killing of an unborn child cannot be considered to be healthcare. And then he says this, I would concede that if you focus just on the pregnant woman, it becomes a little bit easier to say, well, this has to be healthcare. But if you view it from that other perspective, it clearly is not. So again, if you're talking about second and third order consequences of personal healthcare decisions, meaning that it no longer becomes healthcare, then that has a lot of interesting implications when it comes to things like, for instance, a communicable disease, whether you should be forced to take a vaccine or not. I mean, I guess if you just look at it from the point of view of the human being, it seems like healthcare, but as soon as it can affect other people, I guess it's not, huh? Wyoming Republicans? Darren, what do you think?
That's how they are, is exactly what I was gonna say. If you actually consider this pregnant woman a human, then I guess I could see your point, but we Republicans don't see these pregnant women as human beings. They're vessels for babies in that alone. And by the way, I talk about the killing of a baby. DNC procedures are done when women have miscarriages, and then they need this medical procedure. That's also being held up too, because doctors are afraid to do their normal jobs because of these overarching rules that they're putting on them from folks who have no effing idea what they're talking about. What other? I'm sure there's others. Republicans will find a way, but other professions. For politicians who are paid to promote themselves based off of the money makings of the people who pay them, what other professions can they do this about? We can't touch the police, even though they murder people. How about that pro-life stance there? They're not going to be overarching on the police. As a matter of fact, they support them to the point where they don't even have to have any kind of consequences for the things that they do. These are the things that they're pushing because it satisfies themselves. I've been saying this as a potential theme this whole show so far. It always comes back to themselves. But, you know, healthcare isn't really something that's going to go in here, as they then push back against any kind of healthcare and Obamacare and all that type of stuff. The hypocrisy is one of those things that's right in everyone's faces. But because we push this emotional response, getting people upset and sad and crying and all this stuff over fake. These fake outrages that they have on folks, that's when they can convince you to ignore the hypocrisy that's right in your face. I don't know how we can continue to look at this and still think that it's real, that they care about anything that they actually say.
We should not be surprised by that. And let's also note that as we did in the wake of when the Supreme Court's decision justifying the destruction of Roe v. Wade was leaked and then eventually it was passed, all these Republicans were suddenly like running for a camera. Hey, everybody calm down. We're not going any farther than this. Everybody's saying this is a war. It's not a war. We just did that. That's nothing. That's a tiny thing. Why is everybody freaking out? Don't think about this when it comes to the election. Have they paused for a day in any of these states from looking for ever more radical ways to strip away your rights? No, and we actually have more examples of it. If you believe at this point that the Republicans are in favor of more personal liberties, freedom, I mean, seriously, it's time to wake up and take a look at the country. Take a look at these two examples. In Idaho, Republicans have created effectively a new sort of law, unprecedented, that outlaws what you do in other states where they are not in charge. They don't have jurisdiction. So effectively what they're doing here is trying to stop residents from traveling outside of the state to get an abortion. This is Idaho right now, but they're working on it in multiple states. So you might want to take a look at your own. It would create a whole new crime dubbed, quote, abortion trafficking, which is defined in the bill as an adult who, with the intent to conceal an abortion from the parents or guardian of a pregnant, unemancipated minor, either procures an abortion or obtains an abortion-inducing drug for the minor. It makes it illegal inside of the state, but importantly, the language is intentionally vague enough that it will allow prosecution for people who get the actual abortion or the medication outside of the state. It would be a felony. People found guilty under it would spend 2 to 5 years in prison. And also, local prosecutors, again, oh, they're all for, like, you know, federalism and freedom. And, like, you get to decide. You have to enforce this. Your authority is superseded. So take a look at what they're doing here. They're stopping, you know, you from doing this inside of their state, but also outside of the state. But what is happening inside of the state? You're not getting the abortion inside the state. You're not getting the medication. So what did you do within their jurisdiction? You had an intent. You had a thought of what you were going to do outside of the state. This is a literal thought crime. You are going to be prosecuted for something that within their domain was an intent. It was a thing you were planning to do. Nothing that you actually did. And they're comfortable with this. The group that's telling you about, you know, black helicopters and one world government and totalitarianism are outlawing intent to do something somewhere else. See how comfortable people are with that. And it's not just that. When it comes to rights, take a look at this. In Arizona, they're passing a bill that is going to force students to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. HB 2523, introduced last month, seeks to require that the state's public primary and secondary schools, quote, set aside a specific time each day for students who wish to recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the US flag, adding that, quote, each student shall recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States at this time. Bill, you only can refuse once you're 18 or if you have specific parental permission, which in some of these red areas is going to be a really fun conversation with your Fox News watching parents. That's the entire point of this. It's not an actual possibility for many students. And they defend this, Senator Wendy Rogers in Arizona saying, this is to make sure that students growing up understand the country in which they live and embrace the citizenship and the founding principles that we hold so dear, or at least pretend to. You know, principles like freedom, your freedom, which we're stripping away to make you read our propaganda. That's all this is. You can't be taught about slavery or systemic, you know, racism. That would be propaganda. But us making you literally read a creed that you don't believe, they think that that should be not up to you. And by the way, they don't care that this is explicitly unconstitutional. I don't mean that, like, you can interpret that this might be found to be unconstitutional. No, very specifically, in West Virginia State Board of Education versus Barnett, the court ruled that the state cannot compel anyone, including school children, to profess or vow a belief they do not hold. Justice Robert Jackson said, compulsory unification of opinion achieves only the unanimity of the graveyard. You cannot force someone to do this. They know that. Again, they do not care what the law says. They are doing propaganda because their base wants them to do it. So all of your rights, whether it's to what you do in a different place with a different legal system, or what you are forced to claim to believe, you do not have anymore. Bear, what do you think?
Criminalizing dissent at this point. So we start with the kids in school, and also let's think about the indoctrination of this in the first place. We're talking about the pledge here. The line that Wendy Rogers said, they need to understand the country in which they live. The country in which they live and the founding principles therein. What have they learned about the country they live in and the founding principles? Some of those founding principles were to enslave people and keep them as property. That was some of the founding principles before some things changed. Was that something that we should be learning about? Because I feel like we don't learn about it. In fact, some of those founding fathers that we praise so much, yes, they also held slaves. Many of them did. You know, after we fought that Civil War, and people that generally still to this day wave around that Confederate flag, you know, that non-American flag, since we're talking about Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag, and you promote their BS, how much of it, how much of the loyalty are we going to require from them? Because they're still holding on to that age-old founding father's principle of enslaving people. That was the group of people who wanted to continue enslaving people. And they still support them on that. Oh, and by the way, that Pledge of Allegiance was getting promoted and pushed harder and harder because there was such division after that said Civil War about enslaving people. They wanted to bring some kind of unity to the country. So they were forcing people to recite this Pledge of Allegiance to try and have everyone coalesce around this one thing because there was such disunity because of that whole original sin institution of slavery in this country. It's weird. The Pledge of Allegiance was associated with slavery, or afterwards at least, when people were so upset that they had to let go of their human property. Did they learn that? Did Wendy effing Rogers learn that? Yeah. She might have learned it, but she doesn't want anyone else to know it because that pledge is something we're pushing on kids right now without telling them why they recited it at first and why they're reciting it now. It's about loyalty, and eventually it's going to be illegal to say anything that's outside the realms of these Christian fascist leaders. Sounds a lot like North Korea, doesn't it? We're getting to that point, but we can't acknowledge that because, oh no, we're better than everyone else. At least until we act just like the people that we say are third world countries and have dictatorial leaders. A former president who actually praised dictatorial leaders, we just shove all that to the side. And the problem is children not reciting the pledge.
I mean, literally, there are states where, like, if you're a teacher and you just say, I'm gay, that's it. You get fired from your job. Like, rights, freedom. Honestly, again, I don't think that making them say the pledge or whatever communicates these values that they say they believe or whatever. But forcing them to, at pain of punishment, that does communicate something foundational about the way America actually works. It's just a little bit more meta than they might mean it to be. Okay, that said, why don't we jump ahead to our C block? We're just to talk about the first part of this right here. Whenever we're ready, we can jump into this video of Mike Pence.
All right, so it's not decided whether to appeal or not, at least at this point. It just happened today that we're learning about it. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Look, let me be clear. I have nothing to hide. I have a constitution to uphold. I upheld the constitution on January 6th. I believe we did our duty that day under the Constitution of the United States. And in this matter, I thought it was important that we stand on that constitutional principle again. But we're currently speaking to our attorneys about the proper way forward. And as I said, we'll have a decision in the coming days.
That's Mike Pence apparently broadcasting from a sidewalk in the middle of a university or something. But he's being asked about something important, which is that a judge has ruled that he is going to be forced to testify before the January 6th grand jury. He attempted to evade a subpoena saying that he has some sort of executive privilege because the communications that he'd be testifying about involve him and the former president. The judge is not buying that. Now, he is apparently not gonna have to testify about his own actions, but I don't think that's what most people are concerned about. He is gonna have to testify about his communications with Donald Trump on that day and leading up to it. And that is where things potentially will get spicy. We already know from his own book, let alone what other people said about those conversations, that Donald Trump was berating him with vicious insults, saying that he wasn't brave enough to do what he needed to do, which is overturn the Constitution in a way that he has no capacity to. There's no constitutional authority for the vice president to not certify the vote. And very specifically, Mike Pence has already said that Donald Trump said that Mike Pence was being too honest, which is an amazing way for you to pitch what someone you disagree with is doing. Your cover story is that I had no idea that what I was encouraging would be violent or go against the Constitution, but you present it as the person who disagreed with you as the one that's being honest. I feel like that might undercut your defense, but what do you think, JR?
It's hard to juggle all these different things to try and show some kind of weird mobster-like loyalty to Donald Trump who wanted to kill you, and at the same time then still trying to promote yourself to run for president against the same Donald Trump that wanted to kill you but you're loyal to. It doesn't make any sense. There's really no lane for him in this. And then on top of that, this is probably his worst nightmare. Then he has to go actually testify. And I guess, assume that he would tell the truth about everything that's happened in those communications between them. Because then again, they can probably get the communications. So even if he lies about it publicly, we'll find out eventually what it is that was happening. This is worst case scenario for these folks. And I refer back to Lindsey Graham in like 2016 or 15 or so, after he got his ass whooped in those primaries. And he said, if we nominate and elect Donald Trump, we'll get what we deserve. I believe it was Lindsey Graham that said that.
We'll destroy the Republican Party, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll get what we deserve in that kind of way. It seems to be about the case there. And the only one that could be left standing is that same Donald Trump. Because again, after last week when he promoted the BS line about him getting arrested coming on Tuesday, what happened? The establishment guys who maybe had these couple inclinings of pushing back and maybe backing away from Donald Trump because of his lack of popularity in the party now, they all circled the wagons right back around him again. Yeah. And Trump stood there and laughed at them, because now they're back on the record of supporting this guy as he goes through this yet again, and violent texts and tweets and truths and all that that he keeps pushing. Now they're back on his side. Yeah. And they have to try and oppose him yet again. He's got them twisted in knots, and it's amazing that that dumbass actually has them this tied up.
Yeah, I let him do his testimony behind closed doors and just release the Kraken, Mike Pence. Just, we know that he hates Trump. We know that he hates him. But as long as it's public, he still has to pretend, as they all do, or almost all of them do, that they still love him. So we're gonna see what ends up happening when he actually does testify. I will give the most minor of credit to one Chris Christie, who has announced in the last day that no matter what happens, he will never again support Donald Trump. We'll see. We'll see. That seems pretty definitive. But the rest of them, including people that he has actively encouraged mobs to kill, generally find a way to support the guy again. So we'll see how helpful he actually is when it does come time to testify. With that said, we do have to take our second break. That's not the only major testimony coming. So we're going to be talking about Dominion's lawsuit against Fox News and who might be taking the stand in that after this. Okay, everybody, if you're just joining us now, please hit the like button. We got a lot of fun news to talk about, so let's jump into it. Dominion Voting Systems wants to make sure that when the court case between them and Fox begins, that it has some exciting, spicy moments when it comes to testimony. And the interesting thing is, Fox seems to agree with their strategy a little bit, which I would not have expected. So this is, I'll remind you, a $1.6 billion lawsuit having to do with the defamation that Dominion says they suffered from Fox and its hosts in the wake of the 2020 election. What Dominion wants to do is call Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Lou Dobbs, Brett Baer, Maria Bartiromo, Jeanine Pirro, and Dana Perino to testify at trial. So they want to get all of the main hosts who are helping to spread these lies and platform people who are spreading the lies and defaming Dominion. They want them to have to testify, and I'm assuming face questions about those text messages that I'm never going to forget that we read. They also, by the way, want Abby Grossman, a former Fox News employee suing the network right now, who says she was coerced into giving misleading testimony. They want Suzanne Scott, the Fox News chief executive, who is cited in many of those text messages, Rod Shah, a Fox Corporation executive, and Paul Ryan, the former US House Speaker who serves on the company's board of directors and has been attacked by the right wing, including Donald Trump, for his position at Fox many, many, many times. This jury trial is going to begin on April 17th. And what's really interesting is that Fox also wants to call Baer, Bartiromo, Dobbs, Hannity, Pirro, Perino, and Scott as live witnesses. What's interesting about that, though, is I don't see any reference to Tucker Carlson. I don't know if maybe he said that he wouldn't, or they're more worried about the nation focusing again on him talking about how much he hates Donald Trump and desperately wants him to go away and how excited he was for Joe Biden to be president. I would assume if I were Tucker Carlson, I'd be worried about that. But JR, it looks like there's probably going to be some testimony of these big figures.
Maybe, and also with the live ones, I'm not sure. I was thinking about how Fox wants them to be there live. I mean, I guess instead of closed door, I'm trying to see the differences. I'm not sure how the whole thing's going to work out, because sometimes people testify and we don't get to see it, right? But at this point, they want them out there. It seems like such an indication of how the television mindset works for Fox. Like, everything that they were doing in the first place was to make money, and also, of course, support the conservative points of view and continue to promote those same politicians, because they do help them also make money. It all goes back to that anyway. So I don't know if this is going to turn to like some kind of show version of it, of the trial, and try to make it and promote it into the trial of the century. Choo, 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 and we're going to defend ourselves. It just might backfire on you. I'm not sure what it is that they expect to get from that, considering people know the kinds of communications that happened behind the scenes and the plans that they pulled. But if you want them out there talking about it now, after probably they have to truthfully testify, it might not be the flex that they're really looking for. So maybe there's something that they know or they have planned that I can't conceive, but it looks like they're digging the hole a little further for these guys. I don't know. That's a bad idea.
Look, it might be. So Fox is presenting this as like, this is a strong stance. We're going to put forward our people. But for some of those people, they might be perfectly happy to see like Maria Bartiromo or Jeanine Pirro say something damning and then they take the blame. I don't know, from the point of view of like the ownership of Fox and everything. And by the way, they do want like Rupert and Lachlan Murdoch testify too. So it goes up to the top of Fox. But I don't know. I wonder if we're going to get like a Tom from Succession type thing where they're like, man, we can just put this on Maria Bartiromo. That would be real convenient.
Wasn't that part of what Abby Grossman was saying? She said they're trying, because she worked with Bartiromo at one point, and that was the setup to try and get the fall.
Exactly. It looks like maybe that plan is still in motion. So all the more reason to have Abby Grossman there. Okay, with that said, let's jump to one more story with the brief amount of time that we have remaining in our first hour. Busybody parents in Florida are no longer content to just ban basically any book written by a person of color or a member of the LGBTQ community. Now they're coming for the movies as well, with one school now banning Disney's anti-racism film Ruby Bridges after one parent complained that students should not see scenes of hatred towards a six-year-old black girl. This is based on a true story of an actual six-year-old girl who was among the first black students to attend Louisiana public schools back in 1960. And again, the way that this is being presented and why students shouldn't have to see this is fascinating. So Emily Conklin is a Florida parent, contends that the movie is inappropriate for second grade students and wrote a formal complaint saying that scenes in the movie that have racial slurs, as well as scenes of white people threatening Ruby as she entered a school, might teach white students to hate black people. In one of the articles, the quote that they give is that it might teach second grade students that white people hate black people, which I feel like is probably an important lesson to learn. The idea that racism exists, I think, is something that people need to know. And also, like, think about how fatalistic it is that the idea that we're gonna put the movie forward and show racist white people berating a six-year-old and not provide any context, not maybe hint to the kids that's a bad thing or use it as an opportunity to start a dialogue that begins the journey of these kids understanding some of these really toxic social and political aspects of America. No, it would just be played and then it would teach them to do as they saw on the screen. This is the sort of environment where maybe a parent believes that, maybe a few parents believe that, but it is important for teachers to push back against it, for schools to give them the support they need when they push back on it. These are important historic things, accurate, true historic things that kids do need to learn about. And so it's awful to see Florida take another step in this direction.
Well, this is obvious. This is what they were going for. And, you know, of course, when it comes to facts, they have to associate these emotions behind it and also just lump them on kids. Which children are they talking to? Because I have a kid. And in fact, we talked to him about these things. And he talks about how he has these friends in school, black, white, Asian, anything else in between, Latino. And you know what happens when they learn about certain things? They don't start lumping that onto themselves. Second graders, my kid's in fifth, but second graders don't go around going, oh man, that means my life is different. What they go is, that's the way things used to be? Wow, that's crazy. The fact that they're dumbing down the existence of these children and think that they have no thought process because they're in second grade. Anybody who has an actual second grader knows that second graders aren't stupid. They just have less life experience. So as you learn about something, the way they process it is then what you then talk to them about and talk them through and see how normal life goes. Except for the problem with this guilt from these group of parents and probably some of these teachers who don't want that history taught because they're the ones that might begin to hate themselves. How about that six-year-old black kid that had to deal with all that violence and anger pushed towards her? What do we care about what happened with her? We don't. What we're worried about is these adults who are upset about having to deal with their history, and they lump it on these children. What a cowardly thing to do.
Yeah. Again, it all comes back to cowardice. It's running from, again, not even things that you yourself did. You're terrified about what other people did decades ago. Again, because you're kind of telling, I'm not saying for this particular parent, but you're kind of telling yourself, like, if you're so scared of it, like, you don't objectively need to be scared of it. Let's interrogate why you're scared of it. And I think that most of the potential explanations don't reflect very well on this modern day conservative.
By the way, John, really fast. I was a black kid in second grade once. There was white kids who had already been taught racism. Just in case you guys didn't know that part yet. Yeah. They're already taught that. They can learn it. And they have.
Yeah. That is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of our show. So thank you everyone watching on linear platforms, listening to the podcast as always. Thank you so much. In fact, if you're on a podcast platform, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review. It's very helpful for discoverability of the podcast. But there's much more to come in the aftermath, including AI news as well as a particularly spicy meatball. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.